Well, hi, this is Tom Evans speaking with Haroon Rabbani and the Moments of Light podcast series. And Haroon, hi there, how are you doing?
Hi, Tom, thank you very much for having me on your podcast. I'm very well, thank you.
And listen, I've just read your book, Shattering the Grandest Illusions. It's huge. It's a huge, huge book. Each of the chapters in the book could be a book in its own right. Where did you get the idea to write it? What's it all about? Why have you written it now?
I think this is a time in human history where this book, the content of the book, is needed more than any other time. The inspiration came from basically my own particular journey, because I was very much interested in the whole consciousness area and spirituality. But I also know that a lot of the, I suppose, the religious teachings that I've received wasn't 100% accurate. So what I wanted to do is understand science and consciousness and understand human behavior, how we're all interconnected. So that's the first thing. I started doing interviews with leading scientists, experts in the area of metaphysics, spiritual masters, movement masters, and so on. But then the next thing was that a number of years ago, a number of movies were released, like What the Bleep, The Secret, which were very much focused on the individual. And in some respects, particularly The Secret, although it has, it introduces people into the whole area of consciousness in somehow, which I give it full credit for, it really does focus on the me, me, me. And I wanted to go beyond that. And then also there was a wonderful film, which and I'm sure you've watched, and I'm sure most of the listeners have watched, is Zeitgeist. Now, when I watch movies like Zeitgeist and other movies like Arrivals, I could see that they were tackling big macroeconomic issues, macro socio-political issues, which is fantastic. Now, so on one side, one end of the spectrum, you had the individual level being shown and discussed and debated. And on the other side, you had the big systemic issues being discussed. But there was nothing to connect the two. And one of my interview guests, Dr. Dean Radin, he was also on What the Bleep Do We Know, he talks about entanglement, how we, every single one of us, are interconnected, so that what you as an individual or what I as an individual do has an effect on the rest of the planet, on the rest of the universe. So what I want to do is connect the dots and allow my readers and also my listeners from my show to really understand that when they themselves start making a difference in their own life, it starts affecting the rest of the planet.
And what is then the grandest illusion?
Which one is the grandest
illusion? Well, there's a lot in the book, isn't there?
There's many, many grand illusions. We can go extremely deep with it, or we can stay at the human level. And at the human level, in my opinion, and it is just my opinion, in my humble opinion, it is money. Mm-hmm. Money is probably one of the greatest illusions going. Now, I'm an economist by education.
Okay.
So I understand the creation of money, and I understand the purpose of it. And I have to say, years ago, money was there as a medium of exchange, so that people didn't have to exchange gold and silver because it was very cumbersome. Money, until the Bretton Woods Agreement back in the 40s, was backed by gold. Mm-hmm. So for every piece of paper that we called money, it represented gold. The gold standard was removed, so money was not representing any asset.
So you can just print money.
You can literally print money. But here's the thing. Yeah. Here's the thing. The people who print the money, who have access to printing the money, are small in number, and they also happen to have a huge influence on decisions made on the planet in terms of which way resources go.
So hang on, isn't that what they call quantitative easing? They've got a positive
It is indeed. But see, one of the things, like, say for example, give you a real life example. Recently, 2008, we have this big, massive recession, which was going to happen. I mean, that was all any decent economist or half decent economist can tell you that we would have entered this particular recession based on the world, the way the world was operating. So Obama prints $3 trillion, and he pumps that into the US, and primarily the US, and effectively the global economy. Mm-hmm. What that means is that your piece of gold that you would have had, that this paper represented, instead of, say for example, your piece of gold was £1,000, now for the same amount of gold you need £2,000, which means the paper money that the masses hold in their pockets, in their bank account,
mm-hmm.
goes down in value, which means that everyone becomes more poorer. They basically were being pulled down into poverty. The masses are being pulled down. And those who are the super elite, the super rich, who are able to buy bankrupt companies and repossessed homes, they get more wealthier. So there's inequity, and it's happening at a very, very grand scale.
Well, it sounds like it's a huge, huge conspiracy. And you allude to many other conspiracies in the book too.
Well, it's interesting the word conspiracy, because there's conspiracy theory where we speculate that something happens, and there's conspiracy fact where groups of individuals or groups of governments, organizations work together for a common end. And the common goal for the people controlling the money isn't that they need more money, is actually more control mm-hmm. over assets, more control over people and people's lives. That's just the way they work. They don't need more money. They know it's not worth anything. What they want is more assets. So in a recession, for example, it is a perfect time. If you look at when are the illusions being used most, it's during recession. It's a fantastic buying spree for the super and the uber rich. And also during times of war. This is another time where money is created out of nothing, out of thin air, to pay for the armaments, pay for the weapons. They go in and bomb a country. And once they bomb the country, they'll bomb all the utility companies, the water companies, electricity companies. And then another set of, I call them illusionists, come in to build up these particular infrastructure again. So this happened in Iraq, and it happens just about every country which is involved in war. Interestingly, the people who end up getting all the contracts happen to be, a lot of them happen to be American companies like Halliburton, for mm-hmm. example. The British companies get them as well. But primarily, the US seem to be running many of these operations.
Gotcha. So, what's the solution to it all?
Well, I mean,
how do we solve this massive problem where, you know, if you look at planet Earth, if we had all the assets that we've got, all our cars and our CDs and market value, let's say everything totals a gazillion pounds, which is a made up number, and it sounds like we owe ourselves as planet Earth 100 gazillion pounds, right? So there's a big void, and we look at Earth from space, we can't see the money, so this is like a made up lot of digits. How do we get ourselves out of this spiral of debt and if you like the disparity between poor and super rich?
Okay, so that's a big question where there's many, many answers. Mm-hmm. In terms of, let's just clarify one thing. Paper money only represents debt, or digital money in bank accounts. Now it's all digital. You don't even have to print the paper now.
Mm-hmm.
It represents debt. For every single pound that exists, there's exactly £1 of debt. So actually, money only represents debt. The question you ask is, how do we get ourselves out of this mess? The problem is that we have been so manipulated by the illusionists, by propaganda, that we ourselves are actually responsible for the mess we're in at an individual level. So,
and I didn't mean, by we, I meant us as humans.
Us as humans.
Whether you're one of those rich people or one of the poor people.
Doesn't matter.
You don't even know that you're doing it, most of them. Some might be consciously doing it, but some just as much in the mess as we are. And I've got lots of friends that are very, very rich, and then also very unhappy.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, the thing is, back in the 20s, 30s, 40s, there was a big disease going around, and that was called cancer. And that scared the life out of people. Back in the 70s, 80s, we had AIDS. Again, people were worried about, you know, who they're having sex with, and AIDS was just, you know, scaring the life out of people. But actually, something that happened back in the 30s created a much, much more bigger disease, which actually affects every single person. A gentleman by the name of Edward Bernays, who is the nephew of Sigmund Freud,
mm-hmm.
was very much responsible for, he's the father of modern day marketing.
Mm-hmm.
They used to call it propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
He and the capitalists, and I'm not against capitalism, but he and the capitalists got together, and they said to him, Paul Mazar from Lehman Brothers said to him that, what, we've got these factories, we're producing goods, but people are not buying enough. So they might make shoes, for example. Mm-hmm. And the shoes were such good quality that once someone bought a pair of shoes, they didn't need another pair. Mm-hmm. So they wouldn't buy another pair. So he said, let's create a society through our marketing, through our propaganda, and get people to buy stuff they don't even need. And in fact, let's get them to buy stuff before the original stuff that they bought even runs out. So in this case, pair of shoes, get them to buy a pair of shoes before the shoes even wear out. That was the birth of consumerism.
Mm-hmm.
If we look at our own lives, and we need to look have a real introspection, if we look at our own individual lives, what is it that we really need to exist? For life itself, we need water. We talk about this in the book, in Shattering the Grand Disillusion. We need water. Without water, there's no life.
Mm-hmm.
For life, we need light. We need sound. Those are three things we need to survive. Food is actually important, but not that important. There are people out there who are called breatharians who don't even eat food. They actually survive on water and daylight. I'm not saying the listeners should be doing that. I enjoy food. I think I'm a spiritual being having a human experience. And hell yeah, I want to have a very good human experience. I want to enjoy the foods that we eat. They're very important. Those are things we can say we need. But actually, how many televisions do we need? How many cars do we need? How many bedrooms do we need? The fact is, how much clothes do we need? It's not that we need to cut down everything. We just need to look inside ourselves and say, okay, is this getting me into a bigger mess than I'm already?
So is the answer then, right? Does the answer just start with each of us? Is if each of us change our behaviour and it spreads, unlike AIDS or any other infectious disease, if we infect each other by saying, look, we're not going to buy into this anymore. You know, I've got an iPad 1, I've got an iPhone 4. I don't need the iPhone 5 when it comes out, and I've resisted buying an iPad 2. I certainly don't want to buy an iPad 3. Because these two devices, I just love them. I'm an author, I can write on them, I can communicate, I can interface with the internet. I don't need the next version. So I'm making the choice now that I'm not going to buy the next one.
That's a very, very valid and interesting point. I'm very much for technology rather than being against. And technology, if it helps make your life that much more smoother and it enriches your life, that's fine. Here's the thing. The thing is this, the new disease beyond consumerism is called information overload.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
How many of us take the time just to have some silence within our lives. From the moment we're woken up with our alarm clocks, we're listening to the radio, watching the TV, reading the newspapers, going into the internet, going onto social media, especially Facebook, and some of us are addicts, and I'm guilty, I'm not an addict, but I'm on there a lot. Twitter, you name it. Non-stop, from the moment we wake up to the moment we sleep, we're constantly working our lives based on what's going on outside of us. How many of us actually just sit still and just breathe? Did you know that the majority of people don't actually know how to breathe correctly?
Sure, yeah.
And because they don't breathe correctly, most people are in this state of survival. And so what's happening is with the consumerism, with the debts, with information overload, what's happening is we are getting pushed further and further into survival mode. Now, in the animal kingdom, in the savannas, for example, if a lion was to approach a herd of antelope, for example, the antelopes will be in that fight or flight syndrome for about 2-3 minutes until either one of them gets eaten and caught or they all get away. Then they carry on living life. Human beings are the only creatures who stay in survival mode almost 24/7, probably at least 97% of the time. What does that mean? That means, in real terms, in real practical terms, it means when you're in survival mode, your blood rushes to your arms, your limbs, so you can run, literally run or fight. Your hormones for repair and growth of your cells stop operating. That means you age faster.
Mm-hmm.
Your digestion doesn't work properly. Why do you think there's so many people with diseases related to the digestive system?
Sure.
So people are getting older, they're getting more stressed, as long as you stay in survival. So to answer a question, very simple question, I would say the very first thing listeners should be considering is, number one, take time out. Even if it's just 10 minutes, a couple of times, three times a day, first thing in the morning, last thing at night, middle of the day, just to breathe. Forget meditation. We don't even need to go there.
Oh, now,
just to breathe.
I've got to share something with you, right? And I'll share this with the listeners, because the people listening to this underneath where I'm going to post it are going to have a double gift. They're having the gift of your wisdom. Thank you for sharing that with us today.
You're most welcome.
And I did a recorded a meditation the other week. It's about, I think it's 18 minutes long, and it's called The Universal Breath.
Oh, wow.
And we're recording this on my iPhone 4 with this fantastic system called Audioboo, which is like YouTube for audio. So as soon as we finish the interview, I press the button, the interview's going to be live, and I can cross-post my other Audioboos, and I've got this Universal Breath one. What's great about this? 18 minutes of me time, and you do it lying down, and it doesn't matter if you fall asleep either or get into slumber with it, and it gets you into that state. And I did a blog the other week, which we love. It's called Slowing Down is the New Speeding Up.
Oh, wow. It's fantastic.
Here's a trick, and I know this, if you don't mind me just taking your interview from you, but there's an important thing I want to listen to share with the listeners. Time isn't as fixed as we think it is. And when you think you haven't got enough time, it is possible to change the speed of time so you get more done in the same linear time.
Absolutely.
And that's what my next meditations are all going to be
fantastic
about in this series. And it starts with learning to breathe properly.
You know, and we talk about meditation, and it's very important that people come to mentors like yourself to be guided in meditation. Because meditation, most people don't know how to meditate. And I'm going to say this, I've spoken to a number of spiritual masters, and we've talked about different meditation practices, and probably more than half people who are meditating are actually practicing how to sleep by sitting up at the same time.
Uh-huh.
So they need mentors like yourself. I do it now and again when I get the time, help people. But meditation is very important.
Brilliant. And this is a great use of technology, isn't it?
Absolutely.
If we're using technology to do this, and I'll bring you back to this question. Is the solution to this, not to say there's a big system out there that's corrupt and conspiracy and aren't the super rich robbing the poor, does it start with each and every one of us to sort our own house out?
You know, Gandhi talked about be the change that you want to see in the world. That's a very profound saying.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the challenge for most people.
Mm-hmm.
How do you change something if you do not know what that something is?
Okay.
So how do you change? How does one change oneself if they don't know themselves? So just by starting the practice of breathing,
mm-hmm.
doing movement work like Qigong, Tai Chi, yoga, you start getting to know yourself. Once you get to know yourself, then you will know what to change. You obviously, clearly, we all need mentors and guides. I certainly have several, and I'm lucky. I'm very blessed to have some amazing guides. But if we want to make a difference to the world, the difference has to come from within.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say number one step for everybody is get to know yourself. Socrates said it thousands of years ago.
He was a pretty advanced dude.
And he was very advanced, way ahead of his time. And it's still, and he did say, and I, you know, paraphrase, that know yourself and you get to know all the gods and all the spheres, meaning get to know your microcosmos inside yourself and you get to know the rest of the universe.
Great. That's fantastic. So how can people get to know about you? Where can they buy the book? What's the best way to get in touch with you?
I'm very trackable. If anyone wants to go into Google and type in my name, Harun Rabbani, or probably
H-A-R-U-N, yeah.
And then Rabbani is R-A-B-B-A-N-I.
And I'll put the link underneath this podcast as well.
Okay, great. And the website to go on to is exposeillusions.com. And we'll be giving away a lot of stuff on that website very soon. So exposeillusions.com.
Fantastic. Now, this book is huge, right? You're going to write some more books based on it? Because, as I said, every chapter could be a book.
Absolutely. And it was designed on purpose because I wanted to connect the dots first. I wanted people to know that there's a link between every single illusion. It is not random. And so my next book is actually, and I'm already writing it because, you know, I've just been guided to do that. Next book is actually even more practical and focusing on eliminating the toxins of our mind and the toxins of our body. That's how you get to know yourself. Get to know your poisons that we've been consuming and creating through our mind and through our food. And then you start transforming yourself. You know, one final tip I'd love to share is this, that if someone was to come to me and say, okay, Harun, I want to spend a couple of days doing personal development with you. I would say, no, go away and start drinking live activated water. It's all in the book. Live activated water means that water itself is a conscious being.
Mm-hmm.
And water coming through our taps are dead. Natural water flows through curves and streams and it creates vortices, and it has a level of consciousness that when we drink that live activated water, our body starts transforming. Because although we, most of us know that we are 70% water by mass and by volume, we are actually 99% water by molecular structure, according to the latest science.
For sure. Now, so where would you get this live activated water?
Okay. So at the moment, there aren't too many people offering that live activated water. We will be offering it here at the RC, which is RC Studios. You're speaking to, but I think the best thing to do is just type into Google live activated water. There are some suppliers. I don't know from the top of my head their names right now, but I'd like to make this available as well for people, because if I can give it away freely, you know what, I will. This is so important.
Okay, that sounds great. Well, listen, I think we need to do this podcast more regularly. So let's speak again in a month's time, and let's explore some of these illusions. And actually, let's see through the illusion to what's on the other side.
Fantastic.
So, Haroon, great to speak to you today. Speak again soon.
Great speaking with you as well, Tom. Thank you.